Krishna ya Krishna Chaitanya name gora Krishna ma Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vinda
Madhyalila, Chapter 18. All glory to Lord Gaurachandra, the benefactor of the world. Kindly offer your lotus feet to be cushioned deep within my heart. You are the life and soul of Lord Nityananda and Swarup Damodar Goswami. You are the abode of all excellences and the protector of your devotees. All glory to you and your devotees. One attains the highest perfection, love of Godhead, by hearing the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, as he gradually unfolded the transcendental mystery of the congregational chanting of the Lord's holy name. Kindly hear those narrations of Madhyakanda attentively, as it reveals the pastime of Lord Vishvambhar dancing, dressed as Lakshmi Devi, goddess of fortune, and the eternal consort of Lord Narayan. One day, Lord Vishvambhar told his devotees that he wanted a dance drama arranged. He called for Buddhimanta Khan and instructed him, "Prepare a stage for a dance drama and get the costumes. Conch shell, bangles, brassieres, silk sari, ornaments, and other items for everyone. Gadadhar Pandit will play the role of Rukmini Devi, and Brahmananda will play her old lady companion, Suprabhat. Nityananda will play my old grandmother, and Haridas will play the guard responsible to wake everyone up. Srivas will be Narada Muni. Sriram will be the Brahmin who is returning from his bath, and Sriman insists on being the torchbearer. So, Buddhimanta, quickly go and arrange all. I want to dance." Sadashiva Buddhimanta became very enlivened and happily went off to make the necessary arrangements. He pulled out the canopy made in Katia just for such occasions and built a nice enclosure and stage. He also brought the different costumes and placed them before the Lord. Lord Vishvambhar was pleased with the costumes and he said, "Today I will dance as the potency and consort of the Supreme Lord. Only those who are in control of their senses may enter the house and see the performance. Others are not to enter." At first, when they heard that Lord Vishvambhar will dance as Lakshmi Devi, they were excited and happy. Later, when the Lord repeated the conditions, the Vaishnavas became depressed in spirit. The first person to react was Advaita Acharya. He drew a line on the floor and said, "I cannot see the dance today. I come under the category of persons with uncontrolled senses, so I have no business seeing the dance." Srivas Pandit joined in, saying, "Yes, I feel the same way too." Lord Chaitanya gave a short laugh and said, "If you do not come, then for whom am I to dance?" Lord Chaitanya, the supremely scintillating actor, reviewed his instructions and said, "All of you do not worry. Today you will be like the most perfected and self-controlled yogis. You will not be attacked by delusion seeing my dance." Advaita Acharya and Srivas Pandit became merry again with the other Vaishnavas, and all followed the Lord to Chandrasekhar Acharya's house. Mother Sachi Devi accompanied Lakshmi Priya. The relatives of all the Vaishnavas also went to attend Lord Chaitanya's dance performance, which they heard would be unique, seeing Lord Chaitanya as Lakshmi Devi. Chandrasekhar Acharya was indeed a very fortunate soul to have Lord Chaitanya reveal such an unprecedented pastime in his house. Lord Chaitanya sat down with all the devotees and allocated different roles to them. Advaita Acharya, with folded hands, inquired repeatedly, which role do you want me to play? The Lord replied, all the roles are at your disposal. Choose any one you like. Advaitacharya was at a loss as to which role to play. He made the usual grimaces and danced about, floating on clouds of ecstasy. The other Vaishnavas began a jubilant, melodious Krishna kirtan led by Mukunda, who sang with a clear, charming voice, Rama, Krishna, Hari, Gopal, Govinda. First to enter the drama arena was Haridas Thakur, dressed as a guard, flourishing a full-grown, flowing mustache, a turban tied around his head, and a piece of cloth tied tightly around his waist. With an ominous-looking stick, he warned everyone, "Here now, here now. My brothers, look sharp and sit up. The Lord and Soul of the Universe, Sri Chaitanya, will now dance as Lakshmi Devi." He wriggled his stick and paced about. His body horripilated into loving sentiments for Krishna and stirred in others the same spiritual emotions. With a loud and arrogant voice, he declared, "Worship Lord Krishna, render service unto him, and chant his holy names." The devotees broke out in peals of laughter, seeing this new appearance of Haridas, and asked, "Who are you? What are you doing here?" Haridas Thakur replied, "I am a guard in Vaikuntha. I travel everywhere continuously to awaken Krishna consciousness in everyone. Accepting the role and costume of Goddess Lakshmi, the Supreme Lord will now dance. He will freely give away pure love and pure devotional service. All of you, please accept this gift with great care." After speaking these words and twirling his mustache, he and Murari Gupta walked about and made their exit. Haridas and Murari Gupta were both dear devotees of Lord Krishna. They were filled with ecstatic love. Staying within their bodies, Lord Chaitanya enjoyed pastimes. Soon Srivas Pandit entered the arena dressed as Narada Muni, looking very joyful. He had a long white beard. His body was decorated with little dots of sandalwood paste. He was carrying the veena hung over his shoulders and holding kusha grass in his hands. He looked about himself, standing in the middle of the arena. Ramai Pandit followed him in with a folded sitting mat under his arms, holding a renunciate's water pot. Ramai spread the mat for Narada to sit. It was as if Narada had appeared in person. The devotees were impressed with Narada's makeup and laughed in appreciation. But Advaita spoke up in a loud, grave voice. "Who are you and what brings you here?" Srivas replied, "Listen carefully to my narration. Narada is my name. I am a singer. I sing about Krishna, and I travel the length and breadth of this unlimited cosmos. I went to Vaikuntha in search of Krishna, and there I was informed that Krishna has come to Navadvip. There I noticed that the houses were empty and practically no one was in sight. I could not remain in a deserted place, even if that was Vaikuntha, so I remembered my Lord and came here. Today my Lord is dancing here dressed as Lakshmi Devi. That is why you find me here." When Srivas finished speaking, the Vaishnavas had no doubt that in speech, looks, action, and character, Srivas was the same person as Narada. The devotees greeted him with loud applause. Mother Sachi was sitting with the other pious and pure ladies, drinking the nectar of Krishna consciousness that flowed freely in the play. She asked Malini Devi, "Is that the pundit, your good husband?" Malini replied, "Indeed, it is so." Sachi Devi is the mother of the universe. She marveled at Srivas Pandit's present appearance, and feeling uncontrollable joy, she fell down unconscious. Everyone was feeling amazed at this wonderful sight. The ladies around her chanted Krishna's name into her ears, and slowly she regained consciousness. Then remembering Krishna, Govinda, she became again spiritually restless, making it difficult for the ladies to hold her still. Inside and outside the house, people were moved by wonderful spiritual emotions, and they wept, oblivious of everything. Inside the dressing room, Lord Vishvambar had finished dressing, and suddenly he was overcome and captured by the emotions and moods of Rukmini Devi. The Lord forgot himself, thinking and feeling like the princess of Vidarbha, Rukmini Devi. He wanted to write a letter to Krishna for help. The tears that rolled down his cheek became his ink. Mother Earth, the paper, and his finger, the pen. He wrote down the seventh verse of Rukmini Devi's letter to Krishna from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Those who were present read the words with moistened eyes. So now hear the explanation of this verse by which the Supreme Lord becomes one's husband, the only beloved and protector. Lord Chaitanya started speaking with the emotion and mood of Rukmini Devi. He said, O my matchless beauty, when I heard of your qualities, all the material miseries that set me on fire were extirpated. The sight of your charming face is the rarest treasure in the world. Only those who are given the eyes to see this wonderful sight by the Lord's mercy are able to see. O lion-hearted Yadu King, your fame has fanned my heart's desire to reach out to you. Which chaste maiden in this universe can resist the attraction of your lotus feet if she once has the opportunity to worship you? In your absence, erudition, aristocracy, character, wealth, beauty, behavior, and house all seem empty and futile. O Supreme Lord, forgive me for my shamelessness, but I cannot refrain my yearning heart from rushing out to meet you. Thus I have earned your lotus feet, and I offer my mind, intelligence, my very life to you. Now kindly make me your maidservant by accepting me as your wife. Let it not be my fate to be the object of Sishupal's pleasure. O Lord, let me become your property, so that what is meant for the lion may not be usurped by the jackal. If I have truly worshipped the gods, performed austerity, honored the Brahmins and Guru, and served the lotus feet of Achyuta, Vishnu, then let the Lord, who holds the mace, become my eternal master, and that Shishupal be driven out of my life forever. This is the only favor I ask of you. Tomorrow I am supposed to wed this Shishupal, so come immediately without delay. At first, remain secretly near the palace, in hiding. Then enter the palace assembly with your army. You must take me from the midst of such kings as Chedi, Shalva, Jarasandha, with valor and might. This is the opportunity to show off your Kshatriya pride and strength, because your wife is not meant to be desecrated by Sishupal. You have to kidnap me from amongst my friends and relatives, so you must be careful not to harm them. I have a plan how this can be accomplished, and I place it for your approval at your lotus feet. It is customary in our family that the bride-to-be visits the temple of Durga Devi on the day prior to her marriage. This is the best chance for you to kidnap me, but without hurting my friends. Forgive me, my lord, if I sound offensive. The dust of your lotus feet covers all the demigods and goddesses. Even Lord Shiva desires to cover his body with this dust, and if you do not offer me the same as a token of your mercy, then I will surely take an oath to quit this body. O my lotus-eyed lord, please listen. I am willing to go through as many lifetimes as required, but I must receive the dust of your lotus feet. You have heard carefully. O Brahman, now run swiftly to Krishna with this message and beg him on my behalf. Thus the Lord manifested Rukmini's mood and emotions, making the devotees sometimes weep and at other times laugh. All this was happening under the influence of love of Godhead. Chandrasekhar's house reverberated with jubilant sounds of Lord Hari's name. Haridas continued his duty as the guard to wake up everyone, and Srivas Pandit, playing Narada Muni, continued dancing. The first scene ended on this merry note. The second scene commenced with Gadadhar Pandit entering the arena with her old lady companion, acted by Brahmananda. Brahmananda was so well costumed that he was unrecognizable in his role as the old lady, with a stick in one hand and a basket clamped under the other arm, a net-like cloth draping over her shoulders. Haridas inquired, "Who are you?" Brahmananda replied, "Mathura is our destination." Srivas Pandit probed further, "Who are your husbands?" Brahmananda rallied, "Why must you know that?" Srivas said, "Is it not proper to ask?" Brahmananda simply said, "Yes, yes, and shook his head. Ganga Das said, "Where will you stay today?" Brahmananda replied, "Why, will you give us a place?" Ganga Das said, "That is a big request. No need for further discussions. You should move out of here." Advaitacharya said, "What is the necessity for such interrogations? Others' wives are to be respected as the mother. So why then are you speaking in this manner?" "My lord is extremely fond of singing and dancing, so dance here and you will receive handsome rewards." Advaitacharya's words were soothing to Gadadhar Pandit, and being encouraged and pleased, he began to dance. He was dressed as Rama, Lakshmi Devi, and his dancing was enrapturing, and the devotees sang appropriate songs in accompaniment. The devotees were unable to remain still, moved to tears by Gadadhar's ecstatic dancing. Gadadhar's tears of love of Godhead cascaded down to be received gratefully by the more than fortunate Mother Earth. It was as if Ganga Devi in person had appeared. Indeed, she is the transcendental internal potency of Lord Krishna. Lord Chaitanya so often said, "Gadadhar is my wife from Vaikuntha." Those who were present in that assembly, both the performing artists as well as the audience, were enraptured in love of Godhead by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Hari's name was being chanted loudly all around, accompanied by weeping and loving ecstasy. Gadadhar Pandit, steeped in the mood of a gopi, danced and danced. Just then, Lord Vishvambar entered the arena, dressed as the original pleasure potency of the Lord, Radharani, and in front, Lord Nityananda, as the old grandmother, Purnamasi, walked slightly bent, looking shrewdly about her. Her whole demeanor exuded ecstatic love for Krishna. They were greeted from the Vaishnava assembly with loud, jubilant applause. It was impossible to recognize Lord Chaitanya, as he had dressed himself very well and was looking most charming. The viewers saw just two ladies, the elderly lady played by Nityananda Prabhu, and the young enchantress played by Lord Chaitanya. Nothing indicated their actual identities. The audience tried to guess that one of them must be Lord Chaitanya, but they were not exactly sure which one of the two. They started wondering, had Rama just now appeared out of the ocean? Or was this Sita Devi, the consort of Lord Ramachandra? Maybe she was Mahalakshmi, the eternal consort of Lord Narayan. Or was she the life of Lord Shiva, Parvati Devi? Or was she the most precious gem of Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani? Or Ganga Devi, or Mahamaya? So each one imagined according to their belief without recognizing the Lord. Persons who had known the Lord since birth were also fully deceived. What to speak of other people being deceived? Even Mother Sachi Devi failed to recognize her own son. She said, "She must be Lakshmi Devi herself, come here to dance." The consort and pleasure potency of the Lord, Srimati Radharani, is inconceivable. Lord Hari, the Supreme Lord himself, is now playing her part. This bewitching form of the Lord's potency and consort had put Lord Shiva and Parvati Devi into this same delusion. Yet presently, the assembled Vaishnavas did not experience this same indecision because of the Lord's special grace upon them. He showed his unlimited compassion on the Vaishnavas like a mother tending her young ones. All the devotees felt that she was their mother on a visit from the spiritual realm. Their exultations were unreserved and made them forget themselves. Advaita and all the devotees were swept away on waves of spiritual bliss and love of Godhead, seeing their beloved Lord dressed in the role of Lakshmi Devi. Lord Vishvambar, as Lakshmi Devi, was the universal mother. And as she danced, being overtaken by different emotions, singers sang appropriate songs complimenting the Lord's moods. The devotees could never discern with certainty what and whose spiritual emotions were being manifest in the Lord's dancing. When the Lord suddenly asked, "O Brahman, has Krishna arrived?" then they understood that the Lord is Rukmini Devi, the princess of Vaikuntha. When cascading tears decorated the Lord's emotions, then the Vaishnavas seemed to think that the Lord was Ganga Devi in person. And when the Lord laughed with ear-splitting peals, they assumed that he was the ferocious form of Mahamaya, Durga Devi. At times when he danced, swaying and spinning like a drunken lady, they thought that he was Revati, wife of Lord Balaram. Another time, when the Lord said, O grandmother, come let us go to Vrindavan. The Vaishnavas guessed that he was none other than a gopi from Vrindavan. When the Lord sat on the deity's throne, the Vaishnavas recognized him as the powerful goddess controller of the material nature, Durga Devi. One by one, the Lord played the roles of his different eternal potencies. Besides performing this transcendental pastime for everyone's pleasure, the Lord simultaneously gave spiritual instructions through them, that no one should at any time criticize or diminish the position of his energies manifested in the many demigods and goddesses. By showing proper love and reverence to them, one strengthens his devotion and love to Krishna. Lord Krishna is unhappy if his devotees, the demigods and goddesses, are offended. Krishna becomes very content if he is offered worship along with his energies and associates. These instructions of the Supreme Lord are the absolute truth. Only the impious are unable to receive and implement them. The Lord's dancing completely captivated everyone's mind and heart. Whether someone was singing in accompaniment or just listening and seeing his dancing, they experienced sublime joy. Spontaneous tears of love of Godhead rained from the eyes of all the assembled Vaishnavas. The Lord looked with great pleasure upon his devotees, who were like honeysuckle bees attracted by the nectar of his lotus feet. The devotees always desired to stay near the Lord and were very happy in his association. The Lord displayed all the ecstatic devotional symptoms like shivering, perspiring profusely, peripilating, and weeping simultaneously as he danced, holding Lord Nityananda's hand. Sriman Pandit stood in front holding a lamp, and Haridas went around calling everyone's attention. Just then, Lord Nityananda fell to the ground unconscious, unconcerned about his grandmother's costume and his role as Purnamasi. He was overwhelmed by Krishna's love. The devotees looked on in amazement at this wonder, and they themselves became restless with ecstatic feelings. They began to weep, feeling the overpowering influence of Krishna's love. All this was being done unseen by Lord Gauranga, as some devotees rolled on the ground, others embraced each other, and still others wept loudly in great joy. Lord Chaitanya, at this juncture, took hold of Gopinath and sat down with him on Lord Vishnu's throne, manifesting once again the mood of Mahalakshmi. As the devotees stood around him with folded hands, he said, "Chant prayers to glorify me." The devotees, discerning the Lord's mood, offered their eulogy. Some recited prayers to Lakshmi Devi, others to Chandi Durga, each according to his own realization. All glory to the Universal Mother, Mahamaya Devi. Kindly give the shelter of your lotus feet to the miserable and suffering living entities. You are the controlling mistress of the entire material system, and you appear in every millennium to uphold the principles of religion. Even Lord Brahma, the creator, Lord Vishnu, the maintainer, and Lord Shiva, the destroyer of this material cosmic structure, are incompetent to fully describe your unlimited potencies, what to speak about others. You are the personification of this material nature and the possessor of all energies. You are faith, compassion, shame, and the embodiment of pure devotion to Lord Vishnu, Krishna. So all branches of learning are your multifarious manifestations. The Vedas describe you as the original energy. You appear to be within this material nature consisting of the three modes, because you are its cause. In fact, you are always situated in a transcendental position. Even Lord Brahma is unable to fathom you. You are the eternal, never-changing, original supreme energy, the shelter and resting place of all living beings, the universal mother who sustains everyone, being matchless and unrivaled. You are the life-sustaining water, and one can sever the bonds of material existence by remembering you. You appear also as the Blessed Mother, Lakshmi, the eternal consort of Lord Narayan, in the homes of the pious and righteous. But to the sinful, you manifest as all-devouring death. You are the creator and maintainer of this gigantic cosmos, and the living entities who ignore you, not offering you worship, are punished by the threefold miseries. You inspire pure faith in the devotee. Kindly shelter me in the shade of your lotus feet. Your illusory potency has kept the entire creation in a trance, and if you do not protect me, then who will? Your appearance in the material world is to deliver the living entities. Kindly make the suffering conditioned souls into your eternal servants. You are the object of Lord Brahma's prayers. By remembering you, one attains all perfection. With these chosen phrases, the Vaishnavas propitiated Lord Chaitanya, now in the guise of Mahalakshmi. Then, prostrating themselves repeatedly before the Lord, they again began to pray to him. O Mother, we are all surrendered to you. Kindly look upon us graciously, so that we may remain with fixed minds at your lotus feet. A wave of joy swept over the devotees, and they raised their arms and began to weep. The ladies were also caught up in this joyous wave, and they joined in with tears of bliss, drowning Chandrasekhar's house with unlimited happiness. When everyone was thus engrossed in such spiritual merriment, night had crept in stealthily and had left as well, unnoticed by the Vaishnavas. Suddenly, the brilliant sunrise greeted them. They realized that the whole night had passed in singing and dancing, but now the dancing had come to an abrupt stop. The devotees looked around, perplexed, and then began to bitterly regret the passing of the wonderful night. The grief-laden eyes of the Vaishnavas that looked at the intruding morning sun would have turned it to ashes if not for the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. The devotees and the ladies were weeping in great anguish and throwing themselves on the ground. Vaishnava ladies are not to be considered in any way inferior, but are in fact partial expansions of Narayan's potency. They could not be consoled, for the night that they had just passed in such sublime ecstasy was gone. They all fell at Sachi Devi's feet. Pure devotees are easily moved to tears because of their complete absorption in Krishna's pure devotional service. The devotees lamented, "Oh, why did this night have to end? Why is Krishna depriving us of this sublime nectar?" When Lord Chaitanya saw that the Vaishnavas were grief-stricken, he felt compassion for them. Just as a mother feels affection for her son, Lord Chaitanya felt that same motherly affection for his devotees. The Lord called everyone, one at a time, and as a mother breastfeeds her infants, so he breastfed the devotees with milk by his mystic potency. The Supreme Personality of Godhead now accepted the role of his devoted energies, Lakshmi Devi, Parvati, Narayani, the Universal Mother. The Lord proved right his own words recorded in the Gita. I am the father of this universe, the mother, the support, and the grandsire. These devotees, who could happily suck this extraordinary milk from the Lord, are eternally liberated souls. Their good fortune is immeasurable. As they drank the milk, their acute feeling of separation dissipated, and once again they were intoxicated with sublime joy. The Lord's pastimes are eternal and are perpetually happening without interruption. They simply manifest at a certain time and then disappear by the Lord's will, just as it is explained in the Vedas. The Supreme Lord of Lords, Vishvambhar, manifested such wonderful pastimes in Navadvip. The most precious knowledge of the Vedas was exposed in Lord Chaitanya's dancing as the Gopika of Vrindavan. And Lord Nityananda accompanied the Lord as the elderly grandmother Purnamasi. Sincerely hearing these narrations will result in immediate loving attachment for Lord Krishna. Lord Nityananda supported in every respect the moods of Lord Chaitanya as he danced as a gopi. One who is devoid of devotional feelings will never relish such spiritual exchanges. One must be graced by Lord Krishna. Only then can one comprehend the real absolute identity of Lord Nityananda. One may consider Lord Nityananda as a yogi, or an experienced philosopher, or a great devotee. Or, due to a lack of spiritual realization, one may even doubt that Lord Nityananda is dearmost to Lord Chaitanya. Still, I pray that the lotus feet of my Lord be ever situated on the throne of my heart. But in spite of my Lord Nityananda being so merciful, if he is criticized, then I kick that wretched sinner on the head. These topics, as narrated in the Madhyakanda, are indeed streams of nectar, for they describe the extraordinary pastimes of how the Supreme Lord Narayan danced with the emotions and sentiments of his eternal consort, Sri Lakshmi Devi. Dressed as the Universal Mother, he taught the process of pure devotional service and satisfied everyone's desire by suckling them with breast milk. The Lord remained for 7 days in Chandrasekhar's house. The Lord was always enveloped in an extremely brilliant halo, much more powerful than the combined energies of the sun, moon, and lightning. The fortunate and righteous men, the pure devotees, could behold the Lord and his marvelous opulence. People who came to visit Chandrasekhar's house were blinded by this brilliant illumination and could not keep their eyes open. People started commenting, "What can be the cause that we cannot open our eyes in Chandrasekhar's house?" The Vaishnavas heard their comments and smiled inside, not revealing anything. Lord Chaitanya's supreme potency is such that no ordinary person can understand his transcendental activities with his devotees and associates. Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Nityananda Prabhu are my life and soul. I, Vrindavan Das, humbly offer this song at their lotus feet.